quitters never win, and winners never quit. That's one way of looking at quitting, but there can be something about quitting that feels pretty good, maybe thrilling, even if it's difficult, scary, or feels uncertain. Usually it means change is coming your way, change that you have decided to initiate. We've seen some stories of quitting in the news lately, with many Democratic presidential candidates deciding to walk away from their run, even Prince Harry and wife Meghan Markle walking away from the royal life. I want to hear your stories of quitting at 800-642-1234. Have you quit something in your lifetime, big or small, a job, a career, a bad habit? Maybe you're a big soda drinker and you stopped or tried. Maybe you walked away from college. Maybe you sold your car and only biked to work. Whatever it might be, we want to hear your stories of quitting. Want to know how they turned out? Did it take multiple tries or a time to work up to it? Whatever it was, did you come back to it anyway? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Anya Stremian is a deputy editor in the Styles section of the New York Times. She edited their project there called I Quit, 20 people who walked away from their jobs, their religion, their relationships, and even this assignment. Anya, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I love this theme, and I never would have thought, you know, you talk about people quitting their jobs or, you know, one realm of life. What led you into this idea, this overall theme of quitting anything?
Well, I've personally always been fascinated by the act of quitting. Whenever I've been in situations, professional or personal, that have made me feel trapped, just the mere idea that I could quit has provided tremendous relief. So 99% of the time I don't actually quit, but just going through that thought exercise has helped. So by extension, I really love other people's quitting stories. And as I started to gather them at dinner parties and, you know, from friends and colleagues, I thought there was probably a package here. And based on the response, I think everyone sort of loves entertaining the idea. It provides a lot of catharsis.
And yeah, clearly a lot of people at some point in their life are going to quit something. This is whatever
right.
Our personal quit might be. This is a common theme of humanity.
That's right. And I don't think it should be seen as an act of failure, even though that's what we're sort of brought up to believe. I think it's an act of self-care, of empowerment, of taking back your time. And, you know, thematically, it feels right for January because that's when we're sort of taking on new things or getting rid of bad things.
When you talk to people about quitting, I mean, because it has a certain stigma to it, just the word, did people seem a little ashamed at first to share their stories or did they embrace their quit?
Actually, it was both. What I realized in surveying all these stories was that it can either be an impulsive act of emancipation, or it can be a sort of more tortured, often very tortured, many, many months and steps and thoughts toward, you know, a decision. And so it often doesn't come easy. Sometimes it does. But people rarely regret it. And the one common theme was just this tremendous sense of relief when it was done.
Yeah, the stories are so different and the things people quit are so different that it's hard to find common themes that fit everywhere. But another thing that in going through all these stories, a really common thing that seemed to happen was the thing people quit, whether it was dating apps or sex or a job or whatever, they realized that it freed them up to appreciate something else or follow a new path. They kind of took out some dead wood and found all these things opening up for them.
That's exactly right. You know, they were able to pursue the things that didn't drain them. So there's a lot to be said for freeing that mental space.
We're talking about quitting anything, jobs, relationships, habits, you name it. Anya Stremian is with us from the New York Times. They did a project there. She edited it. It's called I Quit, 20 people who walked away from their jobs, their religion, their relationships, and even this assignment. You can join in if you have a story to share about something you quit at some point in your life. You can call 800-642-1234. Anya, I want to get a taste of some of the stories that you shared here. I love this one. I quit my smartphone. This is by contributor Lisa Wells. Can you share a little bit of her story with us?
Sure. So, like so many of us, she realized that she was sort of drifting off, that she wasn't present. Her husband would often ask, you know, where did you go while I was speaking? And she had no idea where she went, but she knew it was nowhere good. She lost her ability to read, to write, to focus. And that was unfortunate because she is a writer. And so she tried moderation first. She tried going for walks and leaving her phone at home. But that didn't work because she felt this nagging feeling of there's going to be something waiting for me when I get home, or I'm missing something in my pocket. So she remembered the last time she quit something really hard, which was cigarettes, and she used the Alan Carr method. So she decided to apply that method to quitting her smartphone, which is just really a hard stop, removing the habit from your life. If you don't do it, you don't crave it. And she found that, you know, it worked. It only took her, she went back to a flip phone. And she found it only took 72 hours to not miss her smartphone. I know.
Okay, that's encouraging on one hand. Yeah. It's really frightening on the other hand, though, that it takes a stop smoking manual to cut back our smartphone use. Does that, frighten you a little?
Of course. And she argues, she sort of says that, you know, the designers of both cigarettes and phones have worked to design things that create, you know, cravings. So she argues that the same method can be used to quit both.
And then another story. We've got full phone lines, by the way. We're going to go to our callers in just a minute. I want to get another story from the series, though. A 23-year-old living, I think it was in Chicago, had a piece called I Quit Buying Things, changing his habits as, I think he, as a consumer. Could you tell us about that one?
Oh, my goodness. I loved this story. He is a Catholic worker in Chicago. And growing up as a child, he was just extremely aware of the things he did not need. And he, when he got Christmas presents, he would sometimes say, you know, accept them. And then afterwards say to his mom, I'm really grateful, but I really don't need this. Can we return it? And I don't know many children who do that. So that's incredibly virtuous. He really found his calling working with people in need and living in this Catholic worker home. And so he only receives a stipend. It was previously $100 a month. Now it's $200 a month. And he has to get really creative with how he spends the, you know, how he makes things last. And he said that his fiance is very understanding and that she supports him emotionally, not financially.
That might be a harder one to pull off for a lot of people. I know a lot of people are, you know, try to simplify and go minimal and things like that. Is this something you could see other people learning from?
Absolutely. I mean, his case is a pretty extreme one. You know, he's probably a better person than I, but I think there are certainly lessons to be taken in there, which is that we need to learn to reuse the items we have.
Let's go to our callers with stories about quitting something in their lives. Andre starts us off in Madison. Andre, hi.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Andre?
Yeah, I think this is an awesome topic. I experienced it myself about 6 months ago, whereas there was a period of time where, you know, because of a high-profile job that I was in, you know, you start going through, you know, anxiety and depression and you're stressed out and you can't sleep and you want to do well, you know, in your place of employment. But at the same time, it comes to a point where you have to really do some self-reflection and say, you know, this isn't healthy for me, and if you can afford it financially, you know, you just have to take some time off and just really just work on yourself and just make sure that your family is on the right page. And, you know, that worked for me. And about a month ago, I became gainfully employed again. And I would recommend it. I think everybody should plan for the unexpected. So, you know, it's all about when they say pay yourself first. You have to be prepared for if those situations do come up that you can walk away.
And Andre, I want to ask before we let you go. I once left a job I wasn't happy in, and the moment after I quit, I had this huge sense of relief. I think of former House Speaker John Boehner the day he announced his resignation. I've never seen a happier face. Did you feel that sense of relief, Andre, when you locked that decision in?
I did. Words cannot express. I mean, it just got to a point where, you know, it just felt like, you know, just a heavy burden was lifted. And I truly felt it, and I truly started feeling happy, started getting myself back, and it just got to a point where, you know, and I'm just being transparent, you just start weaning yourself off of any of the medications that were prescribed to you during that time.
Wow. Andre, thank you so much for sharing that. That reminds me of a story, Anya, one of your contributors shared, of somebody who had achieved what they thought they wanted in life. The drummer for the band The Black Crowes was one of your stories of quitting. Can you share that with us? Because that Andre totally reminded me of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the drummer for the Black Crowes, Steve Gorman, really saw he always wanted to be part of a successful band. Anyone who drums does. You don't want to be part of an unsuccessful band. And he found that with the Black Crowes. But I guess increasingly there was dysfunction within the band. This is pretty well documented. He was just miserable. He had a really hard time quitting. He tried many times. He kept sort of getting sucked back in. As he said, it's really hard to go back to flying coach. He finally did leave and, focused on family life and felt really good. But eventually he really missed having that sense of purpose. And unlike, a lot of other fields, when you're a drummer, there are just fewer job opportunities. So he did end up going back. And eventually the band disbanded. However, they are going back. They're going back on tour this summer, but not with him. So he has made the break permanent.
Andre, thanks for sharing your story. We are talking to Anya Stremian, deputy editor in the Styles section of the New York Times. She edited the project we're talking about. It's called I Quit, 20 People Who Walked Away from Their Jobs, Their Religion, Their Relationships, Even This Assignment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a story about quitting something, a habit, maybe smoking, maybe something else unhealthy, a job, a relationship, something in your life you decided it needs to stop? Call in at 800-642-1234. Let us know what it was and how it went. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to your calls now. Rob is with us in Winona, Minnesota. Rob, hi.
Hi. You said a minute ago that if you decide to quit something, or if you have decided to quit something, you just go ahead and do it. You don't just decide to quit smoking and go ahead and do it. I smoked for more than 50 years. And I had wanted to quit for about 10 years, and I simply could not do it. And the only way I was finally able to is that it landed me in the hospital with pneumonia.
Wow.
And after I got out of the hospital, I was there for a week, I never had another cigarette again. But without that extreme experience, I would have never been able to stop. So I want to warn anybody who's smoking who thinks, well, I'm smoking now, I'm young, it's not hurting me, I can just stop anytime. B.S.
Rob, thanks so much for sharing that story. I'm sorry you were hospitalized. I'm glad you have been able to quit smoking after a while. Anya, smoking, there wasn't a direct essay about that, but that, I think, in our culture, that's, I think if we had a Family Feud question, a thing you quit, smoking would be up at the top of the list.
Absolutely. And Rob's point, and I'm so glad he did quit smoking, so congratulations, Rob. But to his point, it's like sometimes our bodies tell us something, even if our minds can't make a decision. I think Andre also spoke about anxiety and depression, and it was really his body telling him that he hated this job and needed to leave it. In Rob's case, it was much more physical. But that was a theme that emerged in a lot of these essays, is sometimes if our minds are indecisive, our body is sending all the signals, and we should listen.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Bill now with us in Milwaukee. Bill, hello.
Good afternoon. And Anya, you are the voice of liberation.
Thank you.
I was a career teacher, and teachers just don't quit. We just don't. And I taught for 20 years in one district, 5 years in another, half a year in another, and then I quit. I'm not good at retirement. I went back, and I tried it again. The children had mutated. I spent all of my time on the sit down, shut up, don't talk to me that way, get out, It was starting to affect my health. I was 60-some years ago, years old at the time. I dreaded every morning. It was hard to quit, but I did. And the very next Monday, when I woke up, I heard birds. I saw the sun. My body said, even if we don't have any money, thank you for saving my life.
Wow. Okay, Bill, thank you for sharing that. A powerful story there, Anya. He tried to get out, but he kept coming back in. But he finally, it sounds like, got away from it, Anya.
And he saw the birds and the blue skies, and that sounds pretty euphoric.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful, noble profession. So,
right. I mean,
you
I think that's
service.
Well, that's a conflict there that people might have the thing they're trying to quit. If it is, you know, they see something valuable in it versus their own well-being. That is a unique challenge. It's this valuable service, but it's hurting them as it was in Bill's case. That makes it a little tougher on you.
Exactly. And I'm interested in that moment where the switch is flipped and you just realize this is what I have to do for self-preservation. It's amazing how we can take care of ourselves when it comes down to it.
Bill,
it's empowering.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Anya Stremian with the New York Times, editor of a project called I Quit, 20 people who walked away from their jobs, their religion, their relationships, and even this assignment. And before we go back to our callers, Anya, I want to talk to you about that last one. You ended up contributing an unplanned piece about quitting to the series.
I know. Had I known that my emails would be published or that I would publish my own emails, I would have made them much more literary. It was pretty pathetic. I spoke to this writer about this particular assignment. I got very excited about it. This writer was very excited about it. But eventually that writer just ghosted me, and I sent about 4 unanswered emails over the course of several weeks following up like, hi, how's it going? You can have an extension. And I was basically begging. And I don't usually do that, but I was particularly invested in this piece, and it just didn't come to fruition. But the piece about her, about the person quitting the assignment, did. So I got something out of it.
So they quit their assignment about quitting. Very meta.
Exactly.
Let's go back to our callers. Jeannie is with us now in Sun Prairie. Jeannie, hello.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Jeannie?
Last summer, I had an epiphany, and I just decided I wanted to make a change. And then I went to a global leadership summit, and that just cemented it. I realized I wasn't living my best life, and I quit my job. And I'm still not employed, but I'm about to start a new adventure in a passionate job, and I don't regret it one bit. It's like, yeah, I don't have as much money, but guess what? I have my dignity, and I have my grandchildren, and I've been able to do the things that I was missing out on for the last 4 years. And so I don't know if you can do it, if you can get through the financial struggles. I say go for it, because life is too short. Hey, and guess what? I am a silver sneaker.
Jeannie, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. She used that word epiphany, Anya, and I think there were at least a few of the stories in the project you edited where people had, you know, some of them were long-term processes. Some of them had hit them in a day.
That's right. I know. And I'm extremely interested in that. I'm also interested in the fact that she and another caller talked about the financial burden, because obviously quitting is, especially a job, is a financial mm-hmm. burden to most of us. But both callers talked about how it was worth it, how the scaling back was worth it, because they still had their dignity. So I think that's a really interesting thing to note.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Jamie now in Madison. Jamie, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm having such a great time listening to other people's quitting stories, because I've been struggling with my quitting story for the last 3 years. Because there is some regret that comes with it, especially if, just like one of your other callers, you were a teacher and you came to the reality that you just couldn't do it anymore. I think it points to a bigger problem in our society with teaching. It is a noble cause, and I was a good teacher, and I loved my job. I loved the kids, but I was drained at the end of the day, and I had to have a second job because my teaching job wasn't paying me enough. And one day, after a rough evaluation, I was laying on the couch staring at the ceiling, and I realized to myself, I couldn't do this anymore.
Wow.
Jamie, thanks for sharing
that
story.
Epiphany.
Yeah, again. And Anya, I wonder, can the rest of us, even if we're not quitting, it seems like we can maybe learn lessons from people who quit. Like, we've heard from a couple of teachers. Maybe there's lessons there for schools or a magazine editor in the case of one of your stories. Maybe we should be reviewing right. these stories of people who left our jobs or relationships with us and learn something about ourselves.
Oh, my goodness. Burnout is a huge, issue in so many different professions. So that's definitely something that employers should evaluate. And I know many workplaces are.
Now, since you've done, in our last couple of minutes, Anya, since you've done this project, are you hearing from a lot of people, either in your daily life or from readers sharing their stories? Is this something that there's a taste for people to talk about?
So many people. I know that how much it resonates with me personally, but I just cannot believe how this project has resonated with readers, your listeners, with New York Times commenters, and with my friends. It's wild. I think maybe I'm not alone in enjoying other people's quitting stories. There's something very liberating about hearing them, if not doing it.
Well, it seems like, I don't know, I haven't seen other projects like this. Do we need to spend more time on this, I don't know, the science of quitology in our society to understand just what we're getting a hint at here?
Honestly, I could do this full time.
Well, there's a book we'll talk to you about in the future. What do you think?
I would love it.
Okay. Don't quit your job to do it, though. You can keep doing more features like this.
No, I won't. I love the New York Times.
Anya, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really interesting.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
We've been talking to Anya Strumian, deputy editor in the Styles section of the New York Times. She edited the project I Quit, 20 people who walked away from their jobs, their religion, their relationships, even this assignment. You can keep sharing your stories of quitting. Thanks to the callers who we didn't have time to get to, so we had to quit before we got you on the air. You can keep sharing your stories of quitting, whatever it might be, a job, a habit. Maybe it was smoking, as we heard from one of our callers and a couple other people have mentioned on Facebook. Maybe quitting living in a place, a relationship, you name it. Was there a lesson, a life lesson that you learned along the way? You can tweet us at Central Time WPR, or as always, head over, share your thoughts, and see what other people have to say. You can do that at the Ideas Network Facebook page.